Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by comedian Ben Morrison and producer Jamie to talk about what mistakes you're making on dating apps, what fights might lead to a breakup, and what to do when people get distant. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. Check out everything happening on our site, in life. I love when you subscribe to the podcast. It's easy to do it on iTunes and to write us a comment about how you feel about the show. And also, at Sex with Emily across the board, all social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I love hearing from you, and I think I give good social media. So that's almost all for my announcements, except for I want to tell you that my heart is bursting with love for you and the universe. Now, before the show, I was like, you guys, I got some announcements to make. That's good.
That was really good.
Love.
Wow. Ben, you're so talented.
Sure am.
Wow.
You want to hear the sound of a car driving by you on the highway?
Yeah.
You're and like for this funny show, we're only going to be doing sounds.
Exactly. It's fun with Ben. Fun, Ben. Okay.
All right, sorry.
What's that? Okay, so what I'm saying is that's... You're fun. Okay. So is that, no, my heart is, I was thinking about what are my announcements. Am I going to be anywhere? I just came back from Vermont. It was really fun. I was at Wanderlust Festival in Vermont. I gave a few speeches, a few talks there. Ben was there with me. That was fun. And I was thinking, I have nothing else to announce. I'm not going to be anywhere in the next few months, although next year I hope to be traveling a lot more to see you all around the world. But really just that, gosh, I'm so, this is my 13th year doing Sex with Emily. And every day, every week, we're getting more listeners who are listening for the first time. And I get to come into the office every day and help everybody and do a job that I absolutely love, work with people that I adore that are really friggin' smart and fun and funny, and all of you listeners. So thank you. My heart is full. That's my announcement. I love you all. For real. Like, I always say, I love you guys. I'll be right back. But I really mean, like, I'm having immense moments of gratitude. I've got gratitude, yo. Okay, Sex in the News. That's all. That's the heartfelt moment of the day. Three relationship experts tell the biggest mistakes on dating apps. Producer Jamie, hello.
Hello.
You have not done any sound effects yet, but Jamie is here.
I have not. I'm not really like, I don't know. Yeah. I make weird voices when I'm randomly in the office, but
I picked up your voice. No, Jamie's been working with me for 3 years. She goes, da da da. What do you do?
I don't know. I didn't even know I did that until you pointed it out.
Yeah, and now I do it. I'm like, da da da.
And you're like, you're like, I hate that you do that. I was like, I didn't even know I did that. And now she does it. So yeah. I'm like, well, you must not hate it that much. It grows on you.
It does. You grow on me. Every day. No, but anyway, we've all dated on apps. Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Jamie. So
for science.
Experts for science. Literally my first my first date ever on a social media app was on a dating app was on Tinder. I found a Tinder date. I said, come to my show. I met him online. It really was for research. But whether you're dating online now, you have in the past, and I feel like it's like every day there's someone breaking up, someone joining a dating app, someone falling in love. Mm-hmm. So it's a cycle. But let's tell you that they've been around for a while now, and we just want to talk about some of the mistakes you're making. So online dating is still new enough that there's still a lot of confusion over how it works. So if you're staying up at 3 a.m. struggling to craft a Tinder bio that screams single and ready to mingle, but also totally chill about this, totally chill about life. Know that you're not alone.
When I was on the apps, and I'm very happy that I no longer am, because I think they get a little soul crushing. Yeah. I mean, you go through waves, like you're burning the apps up for a while, and then the amount of work you kind of have to put into it, it's like a full time job swiping away.
Well, that goes into the point number one. Here's some of the worst things to do. Spending more than 30 minutes a day browsing profiles, according to Bumble's in-house sociologist, she previously worked at Tinder, 30 minutes is a sufficient amount of time to spend on dating apps. 15 in the morning, 15 at night. People are busy. They need to think about dating as a component of their life. It shouldn't feel like it's another job. And I felt like it was, like it kept popping up all the times, and you're always got to be online. So don't spend. Give yourself limits, because then it's organized. And it's like you check your mail once a day, you know, you're...
Yeah,
apps.
No, so, it's overwhelming for sure.
It is overwhelming.
To spend like so much time.
Then it doesn't feel like a job. You don't have to check the latest message just every 5 minutes, just like you do Instagram. You're already checking things enough.
Well, I think the experience is wildly different for women than it is for men.
Yeah.
You know, because you're the one being hunted. You know, I mean, you probably have an inbox filled with messages all written from some hopeful dude.
Yep.
Who, you know, is probably sending that one message, like you are one of like 20 chicks that are not responding
to it. Exactly, exactly. Okay, here's the other mistakes people are making on apps. Obscuring what they're really looking for in a relationship. The importance of being upfront in your dating profile. If you're looking for something serious, say so. I sense we're embarrassed about saying what we want in a relationship or in person. There's a trend that caring too much is not cool. And I feel like there definitely is a trend for people saying like, oh, I don't want to catch the feels and I just want to be casual. And it's not cool to say what you want in a dating app. You're actually wasting time if you're not being specific about what you want. And I think that people make the same mistake in life. We just are afraid to go and tell our partners what we really want or what we're looking for in a relationship because we're afraid. Like, think about how messed up with this, you guys. Think how messed up this is. You're trying to find love. You're trying to find someone that you want to spend a lot of time with, for some people, the rest of your life, or at least a good chunk of time. Why wouldn't you be honest about what you want? Like, why not? Because how great, guess what? If they don't like you because you say you're looking for something serious, if you're like, I really want a serious relationship, and that person doesn't call you back or doesn't message you back, that's a good thing. You're weeding people out. So this whole mentality of let me just be cool and not say what I want, you're doing half the job online. You're dating half-assed. So you are wasting time. Be specific.
Well, I never knew, though, like when I was on
people the, don't know what they want either.
Well, I didn't know what to write. Like if I was literally just looking to, you know, find people to have fun with and I wasn't looking for a relationship, you realize when you're writing it, there's no way to essentially write, I'm just looking for a good time without kind of seeming like a douche.
Right.
So I like you write one like Tinder profile that's like super short, like, hey, just looking to find someone, have fun. You're like, ah, fuck, I can't do that.
Right.
And you erase the whole thing. You're like, I was born in Boston.
Right. Well, no, it's hard.
You could write, like, not looking for a one-night stand, but also not looking to get hitched, you know, kind of keep it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. You could say that, and I'm trying to figure out what I'd love to find a relationship, but I also don't want to rush into anything.
Yeah, I was trying to remember trying to figure what out who I wrote I am. In mine.
Yeah.
I don't even think I, like, said anything. I was just like, I don't know, let's just hang out.
Yeah.
I mean, well, women can write whatever the hell they want.
That's true.
Let me also say this. I get it. Saying, like, I only want relationships. Like, I don't want to hook up. Like, that could be really weird, too. And some people don't really know what they want. So maybe we're saying, if you definitely know that you're not looking for anything serious, say that. Or if you definitely know that you do want something serious, say that. If you want nothing, you can just kind of talk about yourself and say you're looking to meet someone. That could mean a lot of things. But when you go on the date, I think I'm also saying carry that conversation into the date. Like, continue to be honest. You could even say, I'm not sure what I want. You could say what you don't want. But I don't want to sleep with several people right now. I am looking towards finding one person. I'm not sure what I'm going to get there. And then you could just kind of find out how that person matches with you. But I think we just don't reveal anything. We just kind of accept, I don't know. We're just afraid of being judged, people rejecting us for what we want.
Well,
I've been there.
As a guy, again, women can write whatever they want on the app. You know, I don't think, I mean, the truth of it is that the profile gets
read
later. You know,
yeah.
It's all photo based. But as a guy, I was always very torn as am I mysterious or am I like, here's who I am? You know, I don't really know what I ever wound up settling on. I don't think I ever really had like a silver bullet profile. Right. And you're always worried about your fucking photos. Like, is this a good photo?
Do I
swap
this photo out? Ask your friends, you guys. Ask your friends to kind of give you some feedback on the photos.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What about you, James? So you just said, okay, I get it. I can think you're talking about the apps, but I think what you write, but it's also in person.
I mean, I hate when there's like no bio at all. Because right. I'm just like...
He's like, I'm hot then, or whoever you're swiping with.
Especially if they're not actually that hot. Because then it's like you're really, really putting a lot of pressure on yourself right now.
You're like not doing anything and these pictures are not great.
Yeah, I don't know. It was not. I didn't like the apps. It was not a good experience for
me. Okay, well, the third thing is that people are just relying on an algorithm to find their soulmate. Apparently, these algorithms on dating sites don't actually work. So they did this study in the field and they had students fill out questionnaires before a speed dating session and used a mathematical model to predict who would like who. As it turned out, the mathematical model they used did a worse job of predicting attraction than simply taking the average attraction between two students in the experience. The thing about Tinder and Bumble is the best things you can say about them is they allow you to meet the greatest number of people. These companies are not saying, I'm going to find you your soulmate per se. So it just says you're going to go out with 10 people in a month that you might, if you date that many people that you might never have met. Mm-hmm. It's just up in the numbers. So don't think that the algorithms are specifically matching you with like your soulmates, because I don't think it's like that.
I don't think anyone's thinking that the algorithm is there to give them love.
I don't know.
I mean, hopefully not. Maybe on Match.
Maybe on like
the stuff you pay
Christian
for.
Mingle and what's the other one?
eHarmony.
That's all about matching.
That's about love,
right? And I think it is true when we hear that people are meeting online. It's because they met someone. They went another met. They've been on a bunch of dates, or maybe just one. But you.
I mean, it is good. Like, it gets you to meet people you might not ever meet. And, like, I do have, like, a really good friend who met her boyfriend on Bumble. Actually, funny story, crashed their first date by accident. And,
you did?
Yeah. Well, I just went into the bar and they were there and we just ended up...
How would you not? Right, your friend's there.
I think that's why they got together, because they had such a good time. But...
You're like,
they've
cool.
been together for, like, 2 years now. Oh, they're, like, so in love. And, like, he lives,
do
like...
Do you go on all their dates still?
All the time.
Do you think it's like
they
a thruple?
Reserve?
Is it like
they
a thruple?
Yeah. No, it's actually me and my other friend Anthony. We like it was like a double date in a way.
I love it.
It wasn't really, but it was
no,
fun.
I get it. It's good. It's good when your friends meet your people to know if you're like if they're your friend's cool and you're already there on the first date. You're like, I like your part. I like this person for you.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you do. Like, he lives in, like, Ventura County, so they never would have met each other. So they're good for stuff.
Yeah, it's good. It can be good for things. So those are our tips. Any other things you guys want to add to this? Should keep going? Mistakes that people are making in dating that we don't mention here? Apps? Ben, as a man, was there anything that pissed you off about women? Did you make mistakes?
The no bio thing. That is annoying. You want something to go off. Oh, I didn't like it when their app profile was not linked to Instagram.
Oh, I never did because of because sex.
Because you're like, I don't know if I can trust the realness of this. You know, there's a lot of catfishes out
That's
there.
That's true. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Oh, that's a good point. You want more context. They say there were, and I've done a lot of talks about this, studies about this, but there were studies that said that people who connect to their Spotify, their LinkedIn, their whatever, they're more likely to get matches.
You also have...
Because it gives you context.
You have a much larger view of how they actually look because, you know, I've definitely gone... I went on enough dates where they show up and you kind of like want to fucking hold the phone next to their head and be like, how is this you? You know? This is you 50 pounds ago.
No, my friends thought someone was catfishing me.
Really?
And they're like... Because they're like, look at these pictures. They look like they got him off the internet. Because like, it wasn't like any close-up pictures of his face. But I met the guy, and he was definitely not a catfish. He was super hot and Australian.
Okay. Oh, Australians are.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's a crazy story that goes along with that.
Okay. Oh, yeah?
Just be careful.
Yeah.
Maybe want to give us a little tidbit?
Well, okay, so we only like went out like 3 or 4 times. And the last time I went over to his apartment, we had sex, whatever. And I was just kind of looking around his room, just looking at things. And there was like these 2 pieces of paper on the wall that had a bunch of names written in like purple marker or something. And then some of the names had like lines that connected them to like little tiny drawings of cars.
What?
And I was just like, okay, that's kind of odd. But whatever. But then I noticed that 2 of the names that were on there was Jamie and Sam, and they were connected. And the guy that I was seeing right before him was named Sam. So I was just like,
well, maybe he was a little catfishy crazy.
So I thought that was kind of odd. But then I was like, oh, I'll ask him about it next time. I never actually ended up seeing him again. So I was like, maybe he was a murderer. Who knows?
God, I'm glad you got out of there.
He was really hot, though, and Australian.
Yeah, but...
I could look past them. No, I can't look past them.
I'm glad you're still here and you live to tell. You guys, be careful with people, too.
Yeah, okay, it's a scary world out there.
Okay, so if you have any other dating questions, let me know. But I think that dating online is if you're single and you're looking to meet somebody, do it. Date online, but also be out in the real world. You can meet people that way, too. I met Ben in the real world.
Mm-hmm. See, guys, sometimes you just gotta...
He just came up and started talking to me.
That's the best pickup line ever is, hi, I'm Ben. What's your
literally
name?
That is the best pickup line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, the thing about like this thing about the apps is that, you know, you kind of had to be a pervert in person, you know, previous to the apps. Like,
yeah,
you actually had to put your shit on the line. You had to now look someone people, in the eye and potentially get rejected in the in your eyes.
Right, but now people are, you know, so afraid of it that they're just mm-hmm. sitting behind their phones.
And fellas, catfishing. I'm telling you. That's how you meet the best ladies, because they're out in the real world. And I've always said this, attraction isn't someone's profile picture. It's like, it's how they smell when you stand next to them, you know? It's the way the sun hits their eyes, you know, on a nice morning, you know? And that's real attraction, you know? Yeah. When you're in a room with someone and you actually see them in front of you and you're like, fuck, that woman is beautiful. That's going to last your whole relationship. And on the apps, I'd build up some whole idea about this person mm-hmm. with their six carefully curated photos. Mm-hmm. And then you're starting with an immediate letdown.
Right.
You know, and that's going to stay with you because you're going to be like, well, this isn't what I thought I was getting. You know, whereas if you just go up to women in the real world, what you're getting is right. Literally what you're getting.
It's true. And here's the thing, you guys. It's okay if she doesn't talk to you, rejection. He doesn't talk to you. It's like, it's practice. And it's a sort of the more comfortable you get talking to people. And just saying hi, whether you're attracted or not, it's going to become easier to you. And it's a great skill that you can use in life everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Just talking to people.
Yeah. I love meeting people out.
I love it too. I love it. You're saying, Ben, we were at the show last, where were we? At a party show last night. And you were like, or the night before, just talking to me. That I just talked to you. I love, we went to your friend's party on Friday night.
Yeah.
And I was like, talking. Like, he's like, I love watching you talk. It's like, because we haven't gone out that much in the sense of, who knows, lately. But I was like, I really, truly love walking into a room where I don't know anybody and just mm-hmm. like having conversation. It's and good. That's
it's fun for me to watch you work a room.
Work a room.
Well, but work a room in the sense that you're very charming and everyone intrigues you. You know,
they do.
You're
like
very good about including anyone who's around you in whatever conversation is happening.
I enjoy it. All right, people, here's another story. Ready? Women are freezing their eggs, and here's why. Not because they're afraid, they're working on their career. You know, you've heard about women's freezing their eggs. It's probably been in the news now for like the last 10, 15 years. It's mm-hmm. been like a thing. And you just do it by age. What's the ideal age? Like 34 or 35, I think.
I don't know.
Point is, we think it's because, well, I'm so busy with my career and I don't have time now, but I want to make sure I have eggs later so I can, you know, because every year after the age of like
whenever you 18, hit puberty,
yeah. 17, women's, your eggs will drop. But the amount of eggs. Women are freezing their eggs because they cannot find secure relationships rather than to delay having children while they pursue a career, a new study suggests. Of those who opt to preserve eggs for social reasons, most do so to concerns over lack of stable partnerships, according to Yale University. Many people wrongly believe they preserve their eggs for frivolous reasons, so the research was very interesting. They said the lack of the stable partner is the motivation. The research examined interviews with 150 women from 4 IVF clinics in the U.S. and 3 in Israel who completed at least one cycle of egg freezing. He found 4 in 5, 85% did not have partners at the time. Career planning was the least common reason for having their eggs frozen. Even women who worked for companies where egg freezing insurance was offered. That's pretty friggin' cool. If you
want, yeah, like, that, some really? Places offer that.
Yeah.
Not in the U.S.
Wait, so the freezing eggs just because they can't meet a non-crazy guy?
At that point, yeah, exactly. And people are delaying pregnancy. They're delaying marriage. You know, women used to get to have in their early 20s, and now people are having kids in their 30s. We never even heard of people having kids in their mid to late 30s, 40s. And so I think that people are doing it for a lot of reasons now, and but they're not doing it for career. And it says the earlier they're frozen, the more likely they are to turn into healthy pregnancies. So if a woman freezes her eggs before 35, she would have had to use them or discard them before she was 45. Which seems completely irrational and cruel because society is quite happy for them to use donor eggs when they're 50. So they're saying they should last a little bit longer.
What does it cost to freeze and or store?
I think it's like $10,000 to $15,000, the whole process. Oh, it could be more. It's really expensive.
And do you have to pay monthly to keep it frozen?
I think so, probably, but they probably wrap it all into a plan. But I know it could be like between $10,000 and $15,000.
Like you're paying rent for your eggs.
Literally, you're renting your eggs. I wonder if you could just put them in your own freezer. Like, listen, I've got a pretty good hot tub freezer.
Just like, oops, clearly
not
labeled.
Those eggs. Yeah. Not those eggs.
Baby, I made an omelet. I found these great.
What? Had to be the world's tiniest omelet.
Oh, my God. Right. Anyway, so all I'm saying here is I just think it's interesting. So, and I also think it's that women should look into it. If you are, you know, if you're before 35, typically early, you know, Fraser X. Check it out if you're thinking you're not ready yet, because it does, it's a lot harder for women to get pregnant every year after 30, really. All right.
Yeah. Jamie, I mean, I don't know.
You still got some time. Jamie doesn't think she wants kids.
No.
But she might.
Well, why don't you maybe put a little egg on ice and figure that out later.
I guess. I don't know. I'm just like hoping that none of my eggs actually like work.
Oh, Jane, don't put that out into the universe. You don't know yet.
I don't know yet, but
I also like the study. Arguments that could mean the end of your relationship. Can you tell if your spats have veered into territory that relationship experts identify as dangerous? Check out the warning signs and what you can do about repairing your bond. I like these studies because I think that if you're listening, you're like, we have been doing that lately. Do I need to hold on to this anger? Can I move past it? So the first one is, how about this? When you fight, you insist you're right. I understand it can be tough to say I was wrong in a relationship, but it must be done. My grandma used to say, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well,
no, I get it's like that's like the, you know, sitcom trope or whatever.
It is.
That like
happy wife, happy life. Or
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing. But I don't think you should, like, people have a really hard time being like, I'm sorry, I was wrong, but I don't get it. It's like, just, you know, just be like, oh, you know I just said all of these things, but make a good point. I'm going to concede now.
Yeah.
I'm so good at apologizing.
Do you have to do it a lot?
Yeah. You brought me flowers today.
Oh, is that like not no. just like a nice gesture?
Well, it's been a while since I brought you flowers.
And it was
I
like really sweet. Flowers. I'm just kidding.
But I also went out and I didn't, you know, I went out late last night and text you and I felt bad about that.
I was okay, but thank you.
I know you were, but I don't like the idea that I'm worrying you at all. And anyway, yeah, in previous relationships, the apologies were necessary.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, my previous relationships were so fucking chaotic that like, it was just chaos. You know, it was a lot of chaos. So there was always something that needed to get discussed. That yeah. Wasn't.
How about you, Jame? Are you a fighter?
I mean, I think I literally, I hate arguing so much. Like actually this past weekend, me and the guy I'm seeing, we got into a little tiff. And he realized after it was like very silent in the car for like 20 minutes.
Oh, it's silent treatment, Jamie.
No, I was just like, because for me, I'm like, when I know it's not going anywhere, I'm like, okay, look, I'm just going to like stop talking because right. this is not constructive.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to be done for a second. And then you can decide whether or not you want to have a regular conversation about it kind of thing. But afterwards, he realized, he's like, I'm sorry, I did say some things to kind of rile you up. And I'm like, I know, and I hate arguing, so don't do that.
Right. Good.
But he apologized later. He's, working on the apology thing.
You got to practice about it. You got to practice if sometimes apologizing, but it feels good, you know? The other thing is, let's see what here. When you fight, you insist that you're right. You disagree about having kids. You like to talk about having kids before you got married, but feelings can change. Perhaps one fears kids will get in the way of a career path, or you want to give up trying after fertility issues. But if you're not on the same page, this will lead to resentment.
Yeah, I don't
Being
think
a
you
parent,
can...
You can't talk someone into getting kids. No. Or threesome. Don't. That's not going to heal your relationship or change it. You really, you can't.
Babies and threesomes.
I've
not
always
the way
said
to
that.
Heal.
People are like, let's have a kid, then we'll fall in love
Do
again.
Not have threesome with babies, by
no.
the way.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Parenting is hard enough when both people are on board. So you guys listen to this one. You having the same argument over and over again. Here you go again. You're scolding him for not changing the toilet paper roll. Your issues are probably deeper, like what religion to raise your kids. Believe it or not, you're not arguing what you think you're arguing about, according to the Gottman Institute, which is, you guys, I love John Gottman. He's like the foremost researcher on relationships and the predictors of divorce and relationships and how couples can stay together. He says repeating conflict in your relationship represents the differences in your lifestyles and personalities. This might lead to divorce if you let the arguments seriously escalate. You fight dirty and then you shut down, refuse to talk, or excessively blame. Make sure you know the signs of a toxic relationship. And one of them is when you just have the same argument, you have contempt, you are judging each other a lot, you can't say I'm sorry. But it's interesting, if you usually that same argument is not about that argument. So you need to go to therapy and have which is essentially a mediator to help you guys get to the meat of it. But if it's the same argument for 20 years, like, yeah. Okay. You argue about sex. Huge, you guys. If one of you wants sex and the other doesn't, That lack of intimacy can mean you're in a platonic relationship because basically you're roommates. If you don't have any innate physical contact, the emotional vulnerability of sex, it's not going to be great for your relationship. You didn't get married to become roommates or business partners. So you guys, they say that if sex is not a problem in your relationship, it might take up like 10% of your time, your concerns. But when it is a challenge, it's like 90% because you're not having sex, you're no longer intimate, and it becomes a much bigger thing. And that's when you might be fighting about a bunch of other things. But a lot of it might, if you look underneath, it could come to the fact that you haven't been connecting sexually.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you're fighting about sex, then it makes it seem like everything is about sex, because if you're not having it and then you finally have that conversation, I feel like one partner's like, it's always sex with you. It's like, but we're not having it. Right. So I think it just, I feel like it does like encompass mm-hmm. like everything.
It's true. Don't just fight about the fact that you aren't having sex. Talk about why you haven't, you're not having sex. Is it boredom, disinterest, distraction, the priorities? Are you not prioritizing it? Like all that matters.
Yeah. Fighting about sex is that's bad. That identifies two very big problems in a relationship. And I think what your point was very on the money is because you're usually fighting about a lack of sex, mm-hmm. which means that not only are you not having sex, you're then fighting about the fact that something isn't happening, mm-hmm. which then puts the person who doesn't want it in a position of feeling like they're being forced into something they don't want to do, that for perhaps the relationship might need to stay afloat. It's exactly. a very tough situation to be in.
No, I mean, me and my ex used to fight about sex because he randomly stopped going down on me. And I was like, what's up? Like, what is with that? I was like, I just gave you a blowjob for 30 minutes yesterday and I don't get anything. What's happening?
I mean, did he have an actual answer?
No, he was kind of just an idiot. We're cool now, but.
You're cool. Here's another one. Your fights turn into personal criticism. Like, all you have to say is, can you unload the dishwasher for me? And instead you say, why can't you remember to unload the dishwasher, Ben? But you guys, when it's blamey and shamey, you guys, tone is huge. Tone is sometimes it doesn't even matter what your partner says. So you don't want to criticize them. You don't want to blame them. You don't want to shame them. Name calling.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's so disrespectful. And the last one is, you never fight. When I hear couples say, oh, we never fight, I hear alarm bells. So if you never fight, that could be the beginning of a breakup, or if you were fighting a lot and it stopped, like...
I take an opposite view on this. I think if you never fight, good. You know? I hear people say that if you don't fight, then there's... That's a problem. Why is that problematic?
Let me explain to you. If you're fighting... Okay. If you never disagree... Like, you and I will disagree over things. We don't fight. I never think of it because I'm not a fighter. Like, I don't think I've ever fought with Jamie. We've worked together every day for 3 years. Like, I'm not a fighter, per se. But we have disagreements, or we have things that we've worked through. I guess that kind of counts. But the people are like, we get along so well, everything's great, and we don't ever fight, like, as that's a badge. I hear a couple that probably isn't communicating that well.
Yeah, like, there's got to be something that they're not saying.
Well, I think we never fight is good. We never disagree.
I think that's what they mean.
That's what they mean.
Why is that a bad thing? Maybe you're just so on the same page.
I think if you're not discussing your problems, your inner conflicts, what's going on, I think they're saying you never disagree. I think what they're saying is,
I mean, does that
there's
also gotta mean
be
like
some point of disagreement? I think you've got to have just some heated conversations.
Do you think the we never fight also means maybe that we just really don't open up to each other?
Yeah,
enough.
You don't open up to each other.
We
anyone,
don't really
probably.
Put anything on the. We don't put it on the line.
Right. You're probably too afraid. You don't want to be vulnerable, and therefore you just sort of are coasting through mm-hmm. the relationship.
So yeah,
get
and
into
I think
some stuff.
Being right? able to like work through a disagreement and then being cool again, like, kind of shows good growth in your relationship.
But also, you know, that works for some people. I mean, look, if you are someone who doesn't really feel like opening up, and you met a partner who feels the same way, then that's mm-hmm. maybe a good match.
Okay, you're right. I have to look at the timing of it though. If you're like, we never fight, we never, and everything is, I just a lot of times I see there's things that are not being discussed.
Well,
I
yeah.
A bunch
I mean,
of emails. People like, we don't fight. We've been together 50 years.
If you see a couple that says we never fight, but you get a read on their energy and there's something.
Well, that's
off,
the thing. And I'm like, you probably should talk stuff out.
If you see a couple that's like, we never fight, but clearly these people hate each other.
I figured what it was. I think it's people who lead with, oh, we don't fight, as like a badge of honor.
Right.
Like, oh no, we never fight. Like, I feel like when they're using it as a way to justify things, that mm-hmm. usually is the red flag for me, because I'm like, that's not a great, like, that doesn't tell me that you're healthy. necessarily. It's because you don't fight. If that's the first thing you come up with, there's probably some more conversations. It's good to get into things, into like, because I find the way when it's healthy communication, you actually get stronger in relationships when you handle that stuff and you get through it.
Well, I like the fact that you and I really don't fight.
We don't.
But we definitely have disagreements and we, you know, we talk through them.
We do. It's actually really healthy.
Like quickly and like we almost aggressively dive into the conversation because it's just so, it's so much easier. You get so much more time in your life in relationships if you just like look her in the eye and say, "Look, let's talk this through right now." You know, because one 10-minute conversation you can that'll be painful to have will then give you maybe like a whole week of good communication instead of like playing that game where we're just going to dance around an issue.
Yeah, because all these things people are talking about, these resentments that have built over time, it's typically a series of like 10-minute conversations that you've delayed. And you add that up over a 10-year period, and those are all the things. You don't even remember that it was the fact that he didn't show up to your mom's birthday party or something. It's like, you don't remember it's because you felt disappointed. He didn't know how important your work meeting was. Like, it builds and builds and builds. So if you get in the habit of in the moment, and you've been good with me about this, Ben, too, you're like, what's wrong? Like, I don't remember. Even this weekend, something happened. And you're like, tell me, like.
Sunday, you were off. And her energy shifts, like.
They know.
You can feel it.
Well, it's like a swing in the sense that you're so full of life. You're so vibrant. And then the second that Dr. Emily is looking at a corner, something is up, you know.
But you call me on it. I'm like, well, okay.
I think in certain situations, you know, I as a partner need to say, okay, is she in a place right now where she is open to talking about this? And sometimes you also just have to admit that maybe you just need a little quiet time, a little alone time. You just need to sit with your thoughts for a while. You know, I think as a partner, you always have to be shifting gears to figure out what the best speed for your relationship is.
Right.
But the bigger point, like, is you have to have those 10-minute conversations. I like that's a good way to put it. You have to have those 10-minute conversations because then if you don't, like, why didn't you unload the dishwasher? Or, like, I wish you would put more priority on, you know, cleaning the living room becomes, I fucked your brother.
Right. Yeah. It's a slippery slope between not emptying the dishwasher and fucking a family member.
It's but true. after 10 years of someone not cleaning in the living room, you know, at that family reunion.
Dude, I'm not coming to your reunion anymore. Okay. So, all right. That was good, you guys. Thank you, Jamie and Ben. Will you hang out with me while we answer some emails from the people? Okay. We summed that up. Those were all, if you want to know what we were talking about there, those were arguments that could mean the end of your relationship. That's dramatic. That's a headline. But just think if you're having those kind of arguments, work to resolve them in your relationship. Okay, now we're going to move on. Thanks. Let's give a shout out to our sponsors. I love you, as you know, and I love my sponsors. So I hope you guys can all get along and work together. We'll be right back answering your emails. We're back. We are back, and we are so excited to hear from you and get your emails and want to answer your questions. So I love answering them. So just text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979 or go to my website, sexwithemily.com. Click on the Ask Emily tab. Please include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. This is from Albert, 31, Australia. Hi, Emily. I've been listening to your podcast for over 6 months and I love it. My wife and I have been married for 3 years, together over 6 years. Recently had our first baby. He is now 6 months old and she is 32. Great detail, Albert. Question I have is, I have a foot/pantyhose fetish. I used to ask my wife to dress up a lot in the early stages of dating. Now she thinks it's all related to porn and shouldn't be practiced, but I really enjoy it. Our sex drive has been down the last year, and now I'm not sure how to bring it up with her that I enjoy this fetish, and I want her to enjoy it too. Okay, Albert. So you guys, this is pretty common. I mean, I'd say the foot/pantyhose fetish is one of the most common fetishes, and here's the thing. I'm wondering if it's actually a fetish, because let me remind you that a fetish is something that's actually required for arousal and ejaculation, which means that Albert might not be able to even have an orgasm or really get turned on unless a foot or pantyhose are present.
Yes.
Or feet. So I'm curious if that's what it is, or if it's a, because if it's a fetish, that could be a much, you know, more
like
intense
they need to maybe
challenge.
Make a word.
I have some
in between fetish.
Okay. I'm just clarifying that. But
I have some advice for my man.
Yep.
Piece of advice number one. Albert, start doing the laundry. Take the laundry over from your wife. she will like that. I mean, I guess I'm assuming that she does it. But if you do the laundry, A, it's less work for her, and B, you can get a good old sniff of them hose right before you throw them in the machine. Maybe you even have a little wank all over the hose and then throw them in the wash. You know, it can be your own little thing.
Wow. Right?
That's
really good advice, yeah. Ben. Do you hang out? Is that why you've been doing my laundry so much lately?
Dude, I jizz on everything before it goes in the wash.
I guess that's the best time to do it because you're about to clean it.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, no harm, no foul. Huh?
You're really smart. And this might be the smartest thing you've ever said.
piece of advice number two, make a mold of her foot. You know, you can submerge it in a little thing. You can make your own little foot that you can have wherever. You can get a silicone mold of her foot, and then that's something that you can have for yourself, your own little private time.
Oh, that's a really innovative.
I'm all about actionable shit that he can do. Because if they have a newborn baby, like, the sex goes out of every relationship, from what I can tell, when kids are introduced.
It's so true. It's true.
And especially if you have some kink, you need to figure out more creative ways to express your kink, because you should never feel ashamed about what you're into. It's what you're into, and that's just the way it is. But you do need to figure out a way that you can express that also works for the situation you find yourself in currently.
I love all this. You're so good. Ben, that's true. That's great advice.
It was.
And it's true that she's... Good. Yeah. I mean, I love it. But it's also true that she had a kid 6 months ago. And I think that there's this notion that women should just kind of bounce back because doctors are like, oh, she'll be great after 6 weeks. But she probably is really tired. Her hormones are still changing. So I understand why your sex drives are a little different. So you have to be really patient with her. And I would try to just kind of bring back the intimacy if she's not really ready for intercourse in the relationship. Well, here's the other thing. She thinks it's all related to porn and shouldn't be practiced, but he did at the beginning of the relationship. So I think that there's a certain understanding here that she has to know that, like, it's something that really does.
This is actually what she signed up for.
She signed up for it. You can't just be like, no, that's for porn. That's not for me. But I understand when people have kids, things change. Like, as far as your partner, you're like, oh, but this is the father of my child. I can't have him sniffing pantyhose. She's like, some men are like, oh, I don't want my wife dressing up like role playing as a stripper. I just heard this the other day from a friend. Mm-hmm. She's like, the second we got married, he was so into me dressing up as like this sexy stripper or something. And then I did it. And he was like, you're the mother of our child. And it's just like, it's like the Madonna whore thing.
Okay.
It's like Madonna whore. It's like her saying, no, we're all buttoned up. But you guys, I'm telling you, the kinkier, wilder, better sex you have that fulfills both of you will make you better parents, better citizens, better at your job, better parents, because you're going to be fulfilled on a very base level that is so important that you can't toss out the window for some moral idea that you have to button up and you can't do all these things that you did before you had children.
And I would also say to my man's wife, like, if that's your dude's fetish, that's a pretty easy fetish, you know?
I would love it. I'd be like, I want a 10-minute foot massage.
Oh my God.
Suck my toes.
Well, they could just like go shopping together and I'm sure we'll find an outfit that she feels really hot and really turned on and sexy in, and then make it a thing together.
I mean, maybe they make a deal. Like, he can have kink time if it comes with a killer foot massage, you know?
If she's into that, yeah.
Yeah.
Who the hell doesn't like a good foot massage?
Especially after having
kids. That's true.
I'd be like, do whatever you want if you give me like a 20-minute foot massage. Seriously, it's true. There is some quid pro quo here. I'm trading some like, what does she find hot? What's her fantasies? And we got to get her back into her body. I think there's not enough spoken about women post-pregnancy, post-childbirth, who really just, there's a lot going on. They're re-understanding their vagina again. Everything's been out of whack. Their hormones are taking a nosedive. I mean, there's just a lot to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, you have like a human being shoot out of your vagina.
Right.
Like, that's going to take some time to get back to normal.
I don't know how enthused I'd be about banging if a dude came out of my dick.
Right? It's just like, it's kind of like, and they're like, oh yeah, 6 weeks, you're fine. Like, but what if you like, you know, a lot of times you're tearing. It's like, oh, I don't even want to think about it. This is why I don't want kids.
I know.
I can't go through the labor. I can't go through the pregnancy.
I know.
I like, kudos to you, to all the people out there that do it. Me personally, it's not happening.
Do you feel like more friends? You're Jamie's 25. Do you feel like more of your friends feel that way now?
Yeah,
you do.
Are you open to the idea that your feeling on this might evolve or change?
I'm open to it. People tell me I don't know. I will never say I know for sure, but I'm like pretty sure. It's just not something that I feel like I want to have. Like, I think babies are really cute. I think other people's kids are great. You can give them back.
Right.
So that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's really is like the rest of your life. And I know that like when you have a kid and your whole view and world changes. But I don't know. I just don't.
Okay.
I'd rather be the aunt.
You still have time. Being an aunt is awesome. Thank you, Albert. Thank you for emailing, and go work on that sex life with your beautiful wife. Okay, your lovely wife, your amazing wife. This is from Cat28 Chicago. Hey, Emily, I love your show. I have to ask this question because my girlfriends and I constantly go through this. Guys will tell you everything you want to hear, and when you finally give it up, they start getting distant and block you. This has happened to my girlfriends and I whenever we date online. It's starting to make me act differently when I'm newly dating someone and holding off on anything sexual just so I don't get blocked. I also have a very high sex drive. I feel like I'm not being genuine when I really want to be sexual, but don't know because of the anxiety with the way these guys act. Any advice on how long we should wait before sleeping with these type of guys? And how should we approach dating someone you're into but don't want to end up in the same situation even after having the discussion with them about the whole blocking thing? Okay, Kat, I find this very interesting. So this is a notion. I hear this from women and men, but I guess I hear it from both sides of it. But yes, I've heard this argument from women. They're like, guys just want sex. And if I sleep with the guy too quickly, he's just going to block me and break up with me. He's used me for sex, even though I told him. And you're kind of overacting. It sounds very victim-y here, Kat, that you and your friends are feeling like guys are bad and guys are wrong. And I'm just, I have a hard time with this just because there are men like that. There are men who are on the apps. And yes, they're usually, maybe they can be great charmers. They're really charming. They say all the right things. But I think you could pretty much tell the guys that are going to be assholes about it. Like, you can just tell. So for me, I would say your picker might be broken here, Kat. And that maybe it's the guy. I don't know what all your girlfriends are doing. And maybe you're trying to bring them on board the argument here. But I think I'm never going to tell you how long to wait before I have sex. But I think, Kat, you just need to slow down on the whole dating thing and have your eyes open and pay attention. Are there patterns in these guys?
Well, I mean, I would say from the male point of view.
Yes.
Here, if she's getting serially blocked, you're doing something.
Right.
Like
she's the common denominator here.
Yeah. Blocking someone is a big statement, especially someone that you've had sex with. I mean, that means that their reaction is so off-putting that I literally never want to talk to this person again. And if that happened to you once, maybe the guy was genuinely an asshole. But if you're getting blocked over and over again, like you said, the common denominator is you and your actions, you are doing something that is causing them to block away. And as a guy, if I meet someone and we sleep together, like, I don't want to block that person. Like, that could be a great booty call. Like, if we're being purely, you know, just purely superficial here, like, if establish a sexual relationship with someone, like, I was never big on one night stands anyway, you know, even if it was like a 2 or 3 night stand, I don't like the randomness of that. But blocking someone who you've had sex with means that they are doing something that is making you take like such a drastic step.
Yeah. And then
the thing is,
she says, like, even when she's had the discussion with them about blocking, it's like, I don't know how I would feel if someone was like, yeah, so for some reason I keep sleeping with people and they keep blocking me. I'd be like, that might be a flare. So
good point, Jamie.
Don't have the conversation about blocking per se. I would say just be honest.
Yeah.
What's with
all these restraining orders against me?
No, but like when you're talking to them, you could just be honest about what you want. And it's not about how long you should wait with these type of guys, because it's like if a guy's just going to wait till you have sex to leave, it doesn't matter if it's been 3 months, he'll still leave after the sex.
Right.
So it kind of, you just need to like be more upfront with what you want, what you're looking for, and hopefully the guy will also be upfront.
Stop giving up the booty. You know what I'm saying?
Well, just wait until you feel
like, I don't know. I mean, my ex-boyfriend, we were together for 3 years and we had sex before we even were like, hey, are we going to date? So
I think that's pretty common.
It happens. You know, it's like, but you, it doesn't matter. It's not working for Jamie.
It's not working for Kat. And Kat's got some, I don't know if she's, Kat, also I want to know about your drinking. Because I'm wondering if there's some kind of alcohol involved here. If something happens where you're getting blocked. Like, I just don't know. Or that this keeps repeatedly happening to you. I think it's always good to. Or just hold back on the.
She's getting blockout drunk?
I don't know. Maybe. Like, sometimes I think it's good to just.
There it is.
my laugh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been laughing.
We laugh all the time.
We do laugh all the time. But here's the thing. I just think that go on these dates with your eyes wide open, Kat. You can kind of figure out a pattern here and know how to kind of, you'll know what the right thing is to do. And the fact that you're talking to your friends and you're, all the guys are this and that. Just, I don't like that whole mentality. How about, there's some great guys in the city. Let's go find them and just kind of not date these kind of guys anymore.
Also, new apps, different apps. Because this sounds like a Tinder problem. Get the fuck off Tinder. Like, if you really want a connection in a relationship, invest in Match or eHarmony. I mean, at this point, if you're on Tinder, you probably want some physical companionship in a short amount of time. If you're on Bumble, you probably like the idea that, you know, I'd say there's a more quality pool of people on Bumble. But as a guy, it's very frustrating because a lot of the times you just never get message. But with the whole swipe my face apps, that's more about sex than it is about love. If love is your goal, get on eHarmony, get on Match, put a lot of time into your profile. I don't think you'll have these problems on eHarmony. Right. You know?
And also put yourself just out there in the world too, maybe dating people you friends real friends life. Let everyone know yeah. you're dating.
Good old real life. Remember get, that?
Yeah, get your girlfriends together, go out, take a class, do something fun.
Yeah.
There's like the, oh, I really want, it's like a drink and draw. It's like you drink wine and you paint pictures.
I love that.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. I think that'd be, I love doing some kind of activity like that.
Yeah.
Making something, building something, cooking something. Okay, let's do one more. And I like this one because I think Ben can kind of help. Having a male here is kind of nice. Michael in Utah?
Yeah.
Michael, 20 in Utah. Hamley, I've been listening to your show for about a month. What brought me to your podcast is that I come from a religious background that taught me all the wrong ways to be sexually healthy. Now I've had a couple of relationships before, but I've never actually had sex. I moved to a city to go to school and have started to get involved in the dating scene, but I'm nervous because I feel that I'm kind of late to the party and I fear that's prevented me from being involved with girls in a romantic way. I would love to hear any advice you have about getting over the initial hill of expressing yourself sexually and dating. Thanks. So Michael's 20 and yeah, he realizes that it's a muscle. It's a new skill that you have to learn to build to date and to have relationships, and that he's nervous because he started school and he feels like he's behind in the dating game.
Well, I mean, what I would say to that is you're fine. Like, I didn't have sex until I was almost 19, and then I didn't have sex for a whole other year after that. and then once I kind of figured out my own ways of relating to women, your body, da-da, you'll make up for plenty of lost time, quote unquote. But you are in no way, your age and the fact that you're still a virgin should not concern you. It's very yeah. normal. It's
how
very
did you get,
common.
Do you remember, like, you just started going to college and talking to people? And
well, yeah, I felt very unattractive in high school. I think it was a combination of where I was physically and definitely where I was socially at that high school. I just never felt like I had the charm muscle, you right. know, with women. I felt very awkward around them. And I think that had a lot to do with where I was at the time. And then once I got to New York City, I was able to kind of discover who I was and discover how I related to women. And then I would say to him, just don't overthink it.
Well, yeah.
Don't overthink it.
Exactly.
Honestly, just be yourself, be awesome, be good to people, have great friends, and everything will work itself out.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Well, I'd say overthinking is the enemy of charisma.
Everything.
You know?
Right. I think that I was going to say the same thing, though, but it's so true that it's not like people think of this as like, I have to get the new dating skill and I have to get the sex skills down. So when I meet a woman and she comes back to my apartment, I know what to do. It doesn't really work like that. It works like having a full life. Mm-hmm. You have a lot to talk about because you have friends, you're into school, you're into your life there on campus, your family, like whatever it is, you've got a rich life and you're practicing talking to everybody and having a community in the classroom, a community outside. And like, to me, that's always been like, if you have that, you truly have a full life in every way, it's going to be a lot easier to connect to other people rather than just like, and then I understand the nerves still come up when you're on a mm-hmm. date with someone, but that passes over time when you yeah. realize that people just want you to be yourself
and
to be confident.
And when you meet a good girl and you're just open about the fact that, you know, you're still kind of getting your sea legs, and it just be genuine. Nothing right. is more attractive than honesty and
so
confidence
true.
In this sense. The only skill you need to develop right now is just being the dopest version of yourself that you can possibly be.
Yeah.
Because then you'll find, when you find a good partner, perhaps, you know, Utah being a primarily like a heavily Mormon state, maybe you meet a girl who's in the exact same boat that you're in.
Right.
You know, I think there's a lot of almost expats from the church who are figuring who are going through this journey. You know, I mean, shit, that could be quite likely that you meet someone, and then once you're just honest with them, they're like, wow, you know, I think we have a lot of the same issues. Maybe we can figure them out together.
Right. I think that that's something that's new that we're teaching men. Is that they can, it's like that Lewis Howes Mask of Masculinity, when Lewis Howes, it's a good podcast if you guys want to go listen to that show, is that I think that men are raised still thinking that they have to be strong, they can't show emotions, they can't be vulnerable, they can't show weaknesses. But I'm going to tell you, as a woman who relates, we like when men are real and vulnerable and open. Like, not like... like anything, not all the time. If I was always like crying in a mess, like anything, you want, it's in moderation. Okay, I am
thank
crying.
Thank God
in a mess.
You're not. I've been with
but what I'm saying
before.
is that I'm telling you here, Michael, that the more authentic and real you are, like Ben's saying, like that's not, it's not like women want a man who's all buttoned up, and that's not who you are, Michael. You're a real guy with emotions and feelings. So you're gonna, the more open you are with the woman, you're gonna find someone who relates to you in that way.
And keep in mind, at 20, no one knows how to fuck. Everyone's still figuring it out.
They don't know.
Nobody knows. Nobody, you guys. Knows. I want all the 20 somethings now. I would say even like 25 and under, just to take a deep breath, a deep sigh of relief that no one knows. You're not. You haven't been on the planet enough, having sex enough to even know enough about sex. It takes time over.
Yeah, and each new person is a new thing.
Yes,
anyways,
it's a whole new world.
And all the girls you're seeing in the porno, they get paid $1,000 to do that.
And they're not even really having orgasms.
Yeah, they're faking them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really badly. Right. Or really well. Depends.
Right, exactly.
Well, I think men are just...
porn is not real.
Men are
dumb, is make-believe.
You're like, oh. Like,
oh, I'm gonna come. Oh, I'm coming. You're like, oh, good. Yeah, that's not how it works. A woman's orgasm is like a fucking volcano erupting, you know?
Yeah, like you usually will be able to tell.
Yeah, you can tell,
like,
if she came.
Yeah, unless, I don't know.
I think you can tell.
I always think of that, like, scene.
I can tell when Emily comes, she's like her ancestors are screaming through her. It's, I know, she, literally, she's like, ah! And I'm like, holy fuck, people are going to think I stabbed her in the stomach.
Sometimes. I told that story about Wanderlust.
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious.
When the window was open at Wanderlust.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
And all the people doing aerial yoga.
Yeah.
Like, had a very loud
we didn't order. Look out the window to see who were like, what the
I
hell?
Forgot you know the window's open.
Yeah.
But you're like, the window. Too late
way
now.
Open.
I know.
Way
I was
open.
Having sex at my house one time, and I still live with my parents. And my mom's like, yeah, the other night I thought, I don't know, I just heard something in your room and I thought something happened, like you were in pain. And I got out of my room and I really listened and I was like, oh, she's not in pain. And
your
I was,
mom said that?
Yeah. And I was just
stop,
like,
full stop.
And I was just like, oh, my bad. I will work on that.
You're like, fine. I am in
I
pain now having this conversation.
She thought it was funny. She was just, yeah, I just went back into my room and just thought I would tell you this later. And I was like, yeah, well, no, good. Because like, I was like, I didn't know. Like, you know, in the moment when you're just being and letting go, like you're not actually even aware of like the volume that you may be admitting.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, no, because you want to let go.
That's the thing.
You
so gotta you're
be
just
you.
Like,
I'm not thinking
like,
about the people doing yoga beneath me.
I like, right? I'm like, I forgot that our house isn't soundproof, yeah. Even though it should
and
be.
Then you remember,
probably.
And then you try.
Yeah, man, jerking off at your home is. My dad doesn't knock. I was just
oh, that's
home
the
for
worst.
A week. There were a couple close calls.
Do you have, like, lock? You don't have a lock on your door?
No.
You can put a chair underneath it?
I mean, I guess I could.
Did you
weird.
Live in fear of your dad always?
What if you just
in?
Put a sock on your doorknob, even though you're by yourself?
Yeah, what, to telegraph to the whole house that I'm
yeah.
spanking
at least,
at?
Would you rather them, though,
gone
maybe
masturbating.
Walk in?
Gone masturbating.
Like, or, like, just, like,
one
have...
One of those clocks that they, on the businesses have, be back in five.
Have, yeah. Like, a pillow up or something on a chair so that you're, like, perfectly behind it, just in case.
I don't think your or dad just, wants to walk in on you.
Yeah.
No one, like, or just be like, motherfucker, knock.
Well, I mean, that's the truth, but you just said he just doesn't do that.
You
some
stick
people,
up for yourself.
It's like a habit. Knocking is a habit. My family, my whole family knocks. I love it.
As they should.
Everyone should knock.
I know, but I know a lot of people's families, like, there's just like a no-knocking thing. I'm like, but you don't know what you're going to walk in on. You
no,
never know.
You got to knock. Everyone keep knocking. And keep talking.
Yeah, keep emailing. Talking.
Yeah.
This was great.
It's not.
I love you both.
Unless you want to see your son's jerk off face. Like, who wants that?
Nobody.
The vinegar strokes.
What?
The what?
From the do you guys ever watch the show The League? That's what they call it. Like your orgasm face is your vinegar strokes.
Why?
I don't know. It's hilarious. And it's like this whole, I don't know. You have to watch the episode. Vinegar it's like this stroke. Whole thing. They're all trying to like, I don't know.
Okay. But anyway,
you have to watch
your orgasm face is beautiful too. I think that women don't orgasm because a lot of times they can't let go and they're afraid of their orgasm face. And they're afraid of being loud and they're afraid of being messy.
That's yeah. Unless you have orgasm. like guys do not, I'm not a guy, but I can just, they don't care what your face looks like when you're orgasming. As long as you orgasmed.
Yeah.
They're patting themselves on the back. Yeah,
and if he does care, he's like, "You're too loud. You suck, or I hate your orgasm." Then,
oh my god,
break up with them.
Bye,
bye. Okay, let's do that. Bye, guys. Thanks, producer Jamie. Thanks, Ben. You can find Ben at Ben the Morrison on social media. This was really fun. Thank you, Sarah, volunteer Sarah, there working the sound. Good job. Love my team. So thank you, Ken, volunteer Sarah, producer Jamie, and Michael, and. Thank you, everybody. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.